Growing up, I was taught that there were certain four-letter words that are bad. Say one or more of those words and you might end up getting a mouthful of soap or not being able to sit for a while. As we grow older, that list of four-letter words grows. It includes terms like snow or work or diet. Or perhaps the worst of these is the term wait. We just don't like to wait. Have you ever heard the typical American prayer? Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now. Right? We don't want to wait for anything. It's awfully hard in a country that has instant everything to teach its young how to wait. It's about next to impossible. Richard Foster writes in his book, Celebration of Discipline, in contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. Psychiatrist Carl Jung once remarked, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. I mean, let's be honest, wouldn't you rather do anything but wait? I mean, most of us would rather do something wrong than wait. I noticed that about Simon Peter in the New Testament. If he didn't know what to say, he said something anyway. And usually it was wrong. And sometimes we have that same impulse. We don't know what to do, but we got to do something. I mean, I just can't sit around and do nothing. And oftentimes that gets us into trouble. But I have found that waiting is the rule rather than the exception of life. You know, we talk about open doors of opportunities. How many of those do we really get? Now, how many closed doors are there before we find the open door? Oftentimes, we must wait. But waiting when a door is closed doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. We could be right smack in the center of His will because He wants us to wait. He wants us to slow down. To be patient, be still. As Christians, I believe we need to overcome hurry in our lives. We cannot cultivate a deep life without periodic times of solitude and quietness. I've never known anyone to grow deep while in a rush. A life lived in a hurry leads to consequences greater than any of us realize. It leads to shallowness. It leads to superficial talk and actions. It causes us to be ill-prepared for all that God has planned to take us through. You know, a key term found in the Bible for overcoming hurry is that dreaded word, wait. Psalm 27. One of my favorite psalms, I know I have several, that was one that I'd memorized as a youth. The very last verse of Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Sometimes we associate waiting with weakness, but in that verse, we're to be strong and wait. Sometimes it requires great strength to wait, to be still, to hold our tongue, to not give in to the impulses. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And then in Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Waiting on God. Waiting on the Lord. And that's the key to each of these phrases. It's not just waiting. We're waiting on God. We're waiting on Him to move. And I realized as I was studying this concept, this phrase, there's also other words and phrases that are often combined with it. So this morning I want to consider what it means to wait, what to do while we wait, and what happens when we wait. We may decide that the word wait isn't such a bad word after all. So what does it mean to wait in the Bible? To begin with, the word wait carries a lot of the same connotation as it does in our own culture. I looked up the term in the dictionary. The word wait is defined as to stay in place or to remain stationary. We tend to associate waiting with doing nothing, which sounds terribly boring and unproductive. Yet there's another aspect to this English word, and that comes from the ancient languages where the fuller definition reads to stay in place in expectation of something. We're waiting because we're looking forward to what's coming. To remain stationary in readiness and expectation. So we're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We're not just bored because we have nothing to do and we're just waiting for something to happen. We are waiting with expectation. We believe something is going to take place. And the Hebrew term, most often translated wait in the Old Testament, it is a word, kava, and it means to look for with expectation. It appears 50 times in the Old Testament, where it is almost always translated wait. It's also the root for another Hebrew noun, tikva, which means hope or expectancy. So when the scriptures talk about waiting, and specifically waiting on the Lord, it's with the idea of waiting in expectation. We have hope that God is going to act. God is going to bring something to pass, and we're looking forward to it. The correct way to wait for the Lord is to expect His mercy, His salvation and His rescue. And while we're waiting, not to take matters in our own hands. That's the tough part. That's the challenge in waiting. Because we're waiting for God to do something, but you know, it'd really be better if it was done now. And we won't go into all of them today, but there are places in the Old Testament where people got impatient, waiting for God to do what God said He would do, and they take matters into their own hands, and it's never pretty. It always ends in a disaster. Think of Abraham and Sarah. God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and he's going to carry on your legacy, and through him I'm going to have a great nation. And they had to wait. And they waited. And finally Sarah said, you know what? We've waited long enough. Let's do something. Here's my handmaid Hagar. She can bear you a son, carry on your name, and God will have His promise fulfilled. How did that work out? Not good. King Saul was told by Samuel, wait for me. I will come and offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and then you can go to battle. And Saul waited for a week and thought, this is dumb. Why do I have to sit here doing nothing? Where is Samuel? We're going to take care of this ourselves. And so Saul went ahead and offered the sacrifice himself, which he had no business doing. And when Samuel did arrive, he said, "That's it. You're losing your kingdom." Why? Because he couldn't wait. He did not wait on the Lord. He took matters into his own hands. I had mentioned Psalm 130 a little bit earlier. I'd like to go back to that and add the next verse that I did not read. Psalm 130, beginning in verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning." More than the watchmen wait for the morning. "O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption." Do you catch the connection between wait and hope? Now again, hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. It is a confidence in what God is going to do. It is faith in the future. But not just in the future itself, but in what God is going to do in the future. And so when we are waiting in hope. We are anticipating what God is going to do. Another similar passage is found in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 3, verses 24 through 26. Jeremiah writes, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him." There's that word. "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." These two ideas are seen together. We wait in hope. We wait in anticipation of what God is going to do. Because quite frankly, if we try to do it ourselves, we're going to mess it up. Right? I've seen myself do that. And I'm sure you probably have too. Consider Micah chapter 7, verse 7. "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior." Hope and wait are connected together. In each of these passages, we see a sense of waiting, but we don't get a sense of boredom or despair. There's an expectation that God is going to come through. And I'm just going to let Him do His thing. I remember several years ago, up at Texas, when we were building the fellowship hall, and we did a lot of that work ourselves. And the chairman of our building committee, if he said it once, he said it 100 times, "Let's stay out of God's way." Boy, that is so true. Yeah, I wish I would have followed that advice more times in my life. Let's stay out of God's way. Allow God to be God. And let Him come through with His plan and in His time. Many of you are familiar with Isaiah 40, verse 31, especially out of the King James Version. "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What's interesting is if you look that verse up in the New International Version, it begins, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Wait, hope. They're bound together. When we wait, we do so in hope of what God is going to do. And you know, that kind of waiting is a great expression of faith. When we wait patiently in confident hope that God is going to act on behalf of His people, we are saying, "I trust You, Lord. I may not get it. Like Mary and Martha, I might think You're 4 days late. I don't know what You're waiting on, God, but I trust that You know better than I do. I trust that Your timing is better than mine. And so I'm going to allow You to be God and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see what you are going to do. And those who wait in hope, in expectation, will renew their strength. They are energized as they watch God perform His works in His timing. In the New Testament, Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." See all these concepts coming together: waiting, hope, patience. The Greek term for wait is a word that, like its Hebrew counterpart, means to expect fully. We really believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. If God says He will provide for our needs, then I believe He's going to provide. If He says He's going to put His hand of protection on us, then that's what I believe He's going to do. If I believe He's going to lead, then He's going to lead. Fully expecting that God is going to act. Now, Paul introduces another term here that's vital in overcoming hurry, and that's the word patience. It has the connotation of waiting or enduring, but it also adds the idea of being cheerful. When you wait for something patiently, you're not doing this. Come on, God. What are you waiting on? You know what it's like. You know, you have a certain member of the family that just takes a little longer to get ready in the morning. Come on. That's not patience. You might be waiting, but you're not waiting patiently. And sometimes when we start to begin this idea of waiting on God, we may not be waiting very patiently. That's okay. Keep waiting. But eventually that patience will come. And we're going to see how in just a moment. So what do we do while we wait? What do we do while we wait? I mean, by definition, waiting means we're not doing much. But I would go against the idea that we're doing nothing. Richard Halvorson points out, to wait on God is not to do nothing. It's not an excuse for apathy or negligence. It is not to sit on one's hands and watch the world go by. To wait on God is to believe Him when He says He will direct our paths. To wait on God is to seek His direction, His light, His way. To wait on God is to be sensitive to the indwelling Holy Spirit who delights in leading us in the Father's will. It is to listen to that still small voice. To wait on God is to be totally involved in the process of God's leading, to be involved effective and efficiently. So it isn't doing nothing. It's not watching the world go by. There are things we can do while we wait. And I want to mention two very simple concepts. Ones you're very familiar with. But while we are waiting on God to open a door, while we're waiting for God to come through on His promise, this is what we ought to be doing. The first thing is to pray. Moses said in Numbers 9:8, "Wait until I find out what the Lord commands concerning you." That is really good instruction. Wait until the Lord shows the direction. And how do we know that? Through prayer. David says in Psalm 38, verse 15, "I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God." In his waiting, he is praying and he's expecting an answer. He knows it's coming. He doesn't know what it is yet. He doesn't know when it will be, but he knows it's coming. So as he's waiting, he's praying. Sometimes all that is left to do is pray and wait. And prayer focuses us, or it forces us to wait on God and to let him lead. You know, we can't be in a hurry and bathe something in prayer at the same time. Those two just don't go together. If we are rushing around and always in a hurry, we're not praying. I guarantee it. Those two things are just opposite of each other. Prayerful waiting on God is indispensable for effective service. Think of it as a timeout in a ball game. Sometimes the athletes are tired. They need a rest. Coach will call a timeout, and it allows them to, you know, catch their breath, maybe refocus. Now they're ready to go again. Sometimes our periods of waiting and praying do that for us spiritually. Praying needs to include listening as well as speaking. Alan read for us earlier Psalm 46. 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The Hebrew for "be still" literally means stop, cease. Cease what? Talking. It's like Samuel said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:16, using the same Hebrew word, "Shut up and listen to what God has to say." All right, it's a loose paraphrase, but you get the idea. Saul's just rambling on and on and on and on and on, and Samuel just says, "Stop. Shut up and hear what God has to say." You ever notice that when this is moving, these aren't working? You ever notice that? When we're talking, we're not listening. I think it's funny sometimes to watch people in conversation. You have two people that are talking, and it's very obvious they're not listening to each other because they're talking in two different directions. And the same is true with God. If our prayer lives consists only of what we say to God, that's incomplete. It's like clapping with one hand. Try that sometime. Doesn't work very well, does it? So we need to listen. Another thing to do while we wait is obey. Psalm 37:34 instructs, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way." While you're waiting, obey God in what you already know. Psalm 119, verse 166, "I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands." Waiting, obedience. Isaiah 26:8, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you." We're doing what we know you want us to do while we wait for the next thing. Hosea 12:6, "But you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always." Do the right thing while you're waiting. So pray and obey. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, God tells the prophet, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." And then in the next verse, "The righteous will live by his faith," or that same word can be translated faithfulness, and it doesn't lose its meaning either way you take it. We're to wait for the end. We know it's coming. It's not going to be late. It's not delayed. It's going to be on time, and while we wait for it, we remain faithful. Pray and obey. That's what we do while we wait. A willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence that we're walking by faith. And while we wait, we need to pray for God's will and obey His commands that we already know. So then finally, let's consider what happens when we wait. Psalm 40, verse 1 provides a testimony of one who waited for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Meaning, the Lord came through. I waited for Him and He answered my prayer. And this is the testimony of one who waited on God and experienced His intervention. Sometimes God answers our prayers differently than how we ask. Now, prayer is not me getting God to do my will here on earth. It's God having His will done here on earth, just like it is in heaven as we pray every week. Rather than prayer changing things, I've learned that when I wait and pray, I change. On occasion, I've even discovered that what I asked of God was honestly pretty selfish. And in time, I'm able to see a different perspective, and God opens my eyes to see that, you know, if I were to give you that, it really wouldn't be very good. It may not work out well for others around you. It may not even work out well for you yourself. Another result on waiting in God is His deliverance. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, 'I'll pay you back for this wrong.' Wait for the Lord and He will deliver you." Now, again, this is hard. When someone wrongs us, we want to wrong them back, right? Isn't that the American way? Do one to others when they do one to you? Yeah. But no, He says, don't do that. Don't take matters into your own hands. You wait. Let God deal with it. And trust me, God's going to do a much better job than you can. So we experience His deliverance. The final outcome of what happens when we wait on God brings us back to the theme of this series, living in the power of His resurrection. When we wait on the Lord, we are strengthened. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, passage that I mentioned earlier. I only read verse 31, but I'd like to look at the verses preceding it as well. Beginning in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." This word for waiting on the Lord in this passage has a connotation to twist or to stretch in order to become strong. It's the idea of a rope that is woven together. The individual strands are not nearly as strong, but when you weave them together into one rope, it becomes strong. Someone has called this the exchanged life. We trade our weakness for God's strength. He said, "I take my strand," and it might be like a little spider web, "and wrap it around the steel cable of His character and we do that through the waiting process, then my strand is as strong as his character. I exchange my weakness for his cable-like strength. It never gives way in the heat of the fight. It always holds firm. Isaiah promises here that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. But it all focuses on waiting on the Lord. Look at the three things that Isaiah says will happen. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That first phrase literally means they'll sprout wings like eagles. What do you think of when you think of a soaring eagle? I think of freedom, and I think of strength. Wouldn't it be great to be able to fly? Well, those who wait on the Lord find that option open to them. There's a freedom of flight from life's pressures. And this freedom is accompanied by inner peace. Next, Isaiah promises that we who wait will run and not get tired. We're no longer dragging an anchor. In this spiritual run, a fleet-footedness awaits us. He says we will walk and not become weary. Why? Because we're waiting. We're not going on our own strength. We're going on His strength, and God never gets tired. When we wrap our strand around His cable, we can soar in freedom, and we can walk with a light heart. Isn't that a great promise? Now let's turn to the New Testament. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's giving instructions to his disciples just before he is to go back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word Jesus uses here for wait, the only time it appears in the New Testament. And again, it conveys the idea of expecting, awaiting, knowing that it's coming. There's a sense of certainty that God's promise is going to be revealed. We just have to wait for the right time of its fulfillment. And it says that you will receive power. What was that power? Look at verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit, but they had to wait for it. Wait for the Spirit to move, and when He does, He is going to empower you. And what is that power that He brings to our lives? It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power we celebrate every Easter Sunday, but it should be flowing through our lives every day. That same power comes to those who wait. Those who aren't in a hurry, those who aren't running ahead of God, trying to do God's work. Can you imagine what those disciples had done if they said after day 8, well, guys, we've waited long enough, let's go do it. How far do you think the gospel would have gone? Not very. If they'd have done it in their own strength, it wouldn't have lasted at all. But they waited. And when God came in power, that little band of believers turned the world upside down in less than a generation. Something only God could do. And if you're wanting something done in your life that only God can do, wait on Him. Wait for His moving, His leading. Waiting is not easy. It requires patience. That's another one of those bad words, but it has more than four letters, right? We don't really like patience. And by all means, don't pray for it. Oh, I shudder if I ever hear someone say, oh, pray for patience. No. Do you know how you get patience? You go through problems. So when you're praying for patience, what are you really praying for? Problems. And I don't know anybody that wants that. Problems are going to happen. But as we wait on the Lord, and here's the key, the Holy Spirit develops patience in our lives. It's not something we have to work on. It's not a New Year's resolution where this year I'm going to try harder to be patient. It's not going to work. The Holy Spirit is our source. Because if you'll remember, in that listing of the fruit of the Spirit, what's fourth in line? Patience. Patience is a characteristic the Holy Spirit produces in the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives. That's how we live every day. We need to learn to wait. We need to replace that American prayer, Lord, give me patience and I want it right now, with, Lord, make me mature and I'm willing to wait on you. That's the prayer we need to pray. Slow down. Learn to wait on God. Deliberately devote yourself to walking with Him instead of running ahead of Him and making our choices and asking Him to ratify what we've decided. Let Him remove our anxiety as we learn to lean on Him for everything. We need to learn to wait on God. Stay positive. Stay patient. Stay prayerful and obedient. Allow God to work, and you'll experience His power like never before. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You have promised in Your Word that when we wait on You, we will never be put to shame. You have promised us Your power when we wait. And I pray that we might develop that skill in overcoming hurry, which our culture seems to be fixated on, that we would learn to wait on You, that we would pray, that we would obey Your commands while we wait, and we allow You to do the work in our lives. That's our prayer. That Your Holy Spirit would so infuse us with power, that power that gives us everything we need for life and godliness. May it help us to be patient. May it help us to wait and see that You indeed are our God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.